excited about being here this afternoon with all of you and looking over the audience, and we see the faces that are here, and we praise God for every last one of you who are here, and we thank you so very much for yesterday and what a beneficial day yesterday was. As tired as I was yesterday, I just could not go to sleep because Sunday was something. And I was just so pumped up yesterday that I really could not sleep. And I kept rehearsing yesterday in my mind, and it was just kept replaying. And then the time that I spent with the young people kept replaying in my mind, and it went over and over and over again. And I was thinking and meditating on the things that were said, trying to analyze whether or not I may have missed something and something that I maybe should have said. And so all of those things were just flooding in my mind. And then also flooding in my mind were some of the things that are going on in the lives of some individuals that are here. And I know that you might be here, but there may be a sick relative that cannot be here tonight, and that weighs on your mind. And that there's some of you that are here tonight, if it were otherwise, you would not be sitting alone, but you would have your spouse with you. But they are no longer here. And there's some of you that are here tonight that another relative went on to their reward. And so we don't come and just think that this is just another assembly. But people come with their own individual needs and things that are going on in their lives. And so the preacher has to be sensitive to all of those things, and a lesson must be so constructed to cater to the needs of everybody that is here. And from the youngest person that is here that dares to come to the oldest person that is here that have heard many, 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 many sermons. And I want to say I appreciate you, very fine evangelist, and just appreciate Shan so very much for his love of the Lord and for his defense of the gospel and for doing extra duty in leading us in singing tonight and doing the other things, the call to worship and everything else that he is doing. And I want to thank Tommy for the prayer. And I have to say this, that he asked God to bless me to be able to speak those things that I have prepared. I have to tell you, I thank you for that prayer, but what I'm going to talk with you all tonight ain't nothing I prepared. So, and I'm not just saying that comically, no hyperbole, but I am speaking honestly all day long. To be honest with you, all day long, I worked on the lesson that was for an ounce. I really did. I really, really, really did. And I really was trying to stay true to what was already announced. And right before I left the place, there was something else that began pressing on my heart. And then sometimes we want to speak what we want to speak and that which we have prepared, that which we are comfortable with. And then sometimes, even though you may be prepared, even though you may be excited about it, but it might fly over the heads of the people because there may be something that is more pressing, something that is more urgent, something that is more tangible for the moment right then. And so I want to scrap, and I don't know whether or not I'll come back to it tomorrow. I've already told you I'm changing Wednesday's sermon. I don't know whether or not I'll come back to today's sermon tomorrow. And I cannot say I have to kind of weigh it in the balance and look in your faces and kind of be sensitive to how the Lord tugs at my heart in order to be able to be in the moment and to speak to you and be organic in what we do so that it don't be so structured that I miss the needs that are going on in your life. I want you to turn your Bibles, if you will, and I do hope that you have your Bibles. And those of you who don't have your Bibles, you must have it all memorized so you ain't got nothing to worry about. You can quote it all. But turn your Bibles, for those of you that do have Bibles, to John chapter 17. And when you get to John chapter 17, I want you to meet me at verse number 20. Verse number 20. The mother of all prophecies in the Bible is found there in the book of Genesis chapter 3, verse number 15. And the Bible says that here it is the end of the excursion between the devil and Eve. Eve ate the fruit she gave to her husband, he ate it also. Their eyes were open and they realized that they were naked. God had already told them, or told Adam at least, and he communicated a message to Eve that the day that you eat of this fruit, you will indeed die. The Bible said that after they ate the fruit, they realized they were naked. God's spirit was walking in the cool of the evening. He called out to Adam, and Adam, rather than running to God, he ran away from God, and he hid himself. Adam, where are you? Well, I heard you coming, and I hid myself because I was naked. Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the fruit? And Adam said, the woman that you gave me, she gave to me, and I did eat. Then God said to the woman, what in the world have you done? And God began to pronounce punishment and judgment on them. He punished Adam that he would work at the sweat of his brows, and that sometimes he would plant, and rather than yielding that which he planted, thorns and thistles will come up. And that Eve would be subservient to her husband, and that he would increase her pains in childbearing. And to the serpent he said that I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and between her seed. It shall bruise your head, and your head shall bruise his heel. From that prophecy, all of the prophecies are based. You can all just trace it all back to that mother prophecy in Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 15. It is with that prophecy, and then we move forward to Genesis, and we'll stay where you are in Genesis in John chapter 17. But it is with that prophecy, and then you move forward to Genesis chapter 12, where God calls Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldeans. And he tell Abraham to come into the land, or Abram rather at that time, come into the land that I will show thee. Then came Abraham, at least according to Acts chapter 7, out of Ur of the Chaldeans and settled in this place. In chapter 13, God gives Abraham, he tells Abraham that through your seed, I will bless all nations. That everybody, Abraham, through your seed will be blessed. Now, you would think that at that time, because God said that I will bless all nations, everybody through you, Abraham, through all nations, that God will gather everybody in one little neat basket and say, you know what? This is the fulfillment of it, Abraham. Here you go. Go forward and sin no more. But that's not how it happened. When God told Abraham that in your seed I will bless all nations, and by the way, when you get to Galatians chapter 4, that God shows how this prophecy is fulfilled, that it is through seeds as of one, not seeds as of many. And of course, it's talking about Jesus the Christ. So when God tells Abraham long, long, long ago that in your seed that all nations of the world would be blessed, it brings us to chapter 17, and verse number 20. Reading from this translation, and if I go from one translation and I quote to another translation, then I'm just trying to bring clarity to it, or at least bring something that might be more familiar to you. Jesus says in John chapter 17, verse number 20, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be one in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are. I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. I want to use for a thought this evening, and I'm hoping that my instinct is right as far as the message that is needed for the moment. I want to use for a thought the impossible. impossible dream. The impossible dream. Ladies and gentlemen, I am nowhere of a caliber of preacher as some of these others that you have all come to know. And who am I to maybe even suggest that every preacher has in his pocket a sermon that is called the impossible dream? But ladies and gentlemen, the picture that God paints with his divine brush is to suggest there is something that could be construed as the impossible dream. In John chapter 17, notice what Jesus says. He says, neither, at least quoting from the King James Version, neither pray I for these alone, but for them which shall believe on you through their words, that they all might be one. That's an impossible dream. That they all might be one. When you look at the world today, ladies and gentlemen, and the attitude and the perception that the world has about religion, that when we present it to them, that here it is, Jesus is praying that we all might be one, they will say that's an impossible dream. An impossible dream. Is that what you all believe in the Church of Christ? That everybody should be one? It's not what we believe in the Church of Christ, but it is what Jesus prayed for. And then when you put this text in somebody's hand, and you say, here you go, Mr. Preacher, read this verse and tell me what you think about it. He will read that, and he will tell you what he thinks about it, and he will say, you know what? That's an impossible dream. That everybody might be one, that's an impossible dream. I have to be honest with you. I remember one time, I was visiting with a group of elders in the church. And we were talking about some things, and in us talking about some things, I told them about 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 10, where God moved the Apostle Paul to say that I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the name or by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be made perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment and our opinion. One of the elders looked at me, and this guy is supposed to be skilled in the word of righteousness. And he said, do you believe that we all can speak the same thing? I said, yes, we can. But I just don't see it that way. That's what it says. It's the impossible dream. The impossible dream. The impossible dream. But here it is. That it was the intent of God. Back up, if you don't mind, John chapter 10, verse number 16. Jesus says, other sheep have I, which are not of this fold. Them also much I gather, and they shall be one fold. What he was talking about the Gentiles. You mean to tell me that Jew and Gentile would all be one in Christ? Is that what the scriptures is saying? Is that what the prophecies are projecting? Yes, it is. And somebody would look at that and say, Keith, that is the impossible dream. There's no such thing. With God, all things are possible. I will amen myself on that. Amen, Anderson. But instead of trying to comply with the word, we build up these impediments, we build walls, and we said that could not be, but it has been the original intention of God. It has been the dream of God that Jew and Gentile, black folk, white folk, brown folk, rich folk, amen, rich folk, amen. Got kind of carried away for a moment there. Rich folk and poor folk would all be the same in Christ. And you know what the world is saying? It's an impossible dream. Why would God want such a thing? That's an impossible dream. But it is not an impossible dream. It has been the desire for God from the beginning. That it began in Genesis chapter 3, and then you go to Genesis chapter 13, you go to Genesis chapter 15, you go to Genesis chapter 21, you go all the way to Genesis chapter 18, and here it is that God is reiterating over and over and over again that through his seed would all the nations of the world be blessed. That has been the dream and the aspiration of God. It is not an impossible dream. It's not an impossible dream that everybody would be one in
in Christ. The impossible dream. If you go back and you look at Genesis, but don't just stop there, but go even a little bit further to Deuteronomy 18:18. How that Moses said that a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you from among your brethren, like it unto me, him shall you hear in all things. And Peter said in Acts chapter 3, he says, and he added that whoever will not hear the prophet shall be cut off from among the people. The impossible dream. There is a prophet that is coming. And that here it is that all people, that all nations are going to flow unto it, unto him. When Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 2 says, the words that Isaiah the son of Amoz saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall come to pass in the last days that, guess what? The mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains. It's going to be exalted above the hill, and all nations are going to flow unto it. And many will say, come, let us go up to the house of the God of Jacob. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And you know what people are going to do? They're going to take their swords. And they're going to beat their swords as far as instruments of destruction. They're going to beat them into instruments of usefulness. Can that happen? Of course it can happen. And it is not the impossible dream. You know what I was thinking as I was coming here? And I'm sorry, Tom. And thank you for the prayer. Pray it again tomorrow. I may be talking about the stuff that I have prepared. But I'm trying to talk about the stuff that might be urgent right now to our hearing. That here it is that we have a certain religious group that talks about in the book of Isaiah about how the child is going to lie down, how the lamb is going to lie down with the wolf and all of these things. The child is going to play on the den of the cockatrice and all these things. And they're saying that that peaceful kingdom is going to happen in the millennium. That ain't going to do no good. It's not going to do any good. In fact, they got it wrong. That is not some so-called millennial kingdom that everything is going to be peaceful on earth. No, it is talking about right now. Because right now I have racial issues. I'm not saying I got racial issues. But right now people have racial issues. People have economic biases and bigotries and all of those things. All of those things. And so it is no challenge when those things are removed from us and we don't have the desire to divide up in groups and all those kinds of things. So it is right now. And so the wolf is a certain kind of character. The lion is a certain kind of character and a personality. It is nations. It is not for some mythical millennial time. The impossible dream. Now, this is nothing but a sidebar that I want to share with you right now. That, ladies and gentlemen, that we as members of the body of Christ, if we can't have that unity ourselves, how are we going to expect unity among others? How are we going to expect unity in the whole religious world? And you know the first thing they're going to do, they're going to throw it in your face. Well, which branch of the Church of Christ are you from? Because they do that. We got to go back to 1 Corinthians 1:10. And that same guy, that same elder who thought that was impossible, he asked the question, how can we achieve that? And I told him, the more we talk, the more we learn, where others are from, and the more we come to the same agreement, the more we study with one another. But if you isolate yourself in some corner, then you're going to stay in that corner. The impossible dream. There in the book of Daniel chapter 2, the Bible teaches us how that a guy by the name of Nebuchadnezzar, how that he had a dream, and the Bible said that in his dream he saw a head of gold. He saw arms and stomach, the arms and the chest of brass. He saw stomach and thighs of silver. He saw legs of iron. He saw feet of iron and miry clay. And it troubled him. And then Daniel came and interpreted the dream for Nebuchadnezzar. And he told Nebuchadnezzar, guess what? You are the head of gold. It is your kingdom, the Babylonians, that your kingdom is that the head of gold, because you are the king of kings. And then there are going to be other kingdoms that are going to come. And then about verse number 44,
Daniel tells Nebuchadnezzar, he said that, you know what? That in that dream that you saw, this great figure, that God was trying to tell you something, that all of these different kingdoms, the Babylonians, the Medes and the Persians, the Greeks, the Romans, that all of these kingdoms one day were all going to be absorbed into the kingdom of Christ. So here it is, you bring all of these pontificants in this room with all of their degrees and all of their learning and everything else, and you sit them in these pews and you ask them the question, does God want us all to be one? In unison, they will say yes. And then you say, can it happen? And they will say, it's the impossible dream. No, it's not the impossible dream. It is the possible dream, and indeed it can happen, and it must happen. The impossible dream. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the thing that we are trying to present to the world. We're trying to present to them the idea that the impossible dream is possible. It is possible that we can all worship together, that we can all wear the same name, just Christians, that we can all be one, we can all be of the one body, and that is the body of Christ. That is the desire of the Lord, and it is not the impossible dream. Let me go a little bit further. Let me go back to John chapter 17, then I'm going to fast forward to Acts chapter 2, then I'm going to fast forward to Acts chapter 10, then I'm going to fast forward to Acts chapter 17, and then the lesson indeed will be over. But in John chapter 17, Jesus says, I'm not praying for these alone. In fact, verse number 17, Jesus says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. But then he begins praying. Now, the thing that we have is this, Brother Littles, is that people talk about the model prayer being the Lord's prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hath be thy name. That is not the Lord praying. The Lord is teaching to pray. But right here in John chapter 17, the Lord is actually praying. Because the first statement is, neither pray I for these alone. I am praying this. What is his prayer? His prayer is that we all be one. In the same way, in the same uniqueness as the Father and the Son are one. Do you think for at one moment, ladies and gentlemen, that Jesus speaks one thing and the Father speaks another thing? That dog does not hunt. It's ludicrous to think that. And so he says that I'm praying, and the thing that he makes the comparison to, as you and I are one, that they might be one in us. Why? So that the world might know that you did send me. The impossible dream. The impossible dream, ladies and gentlemen, of loving one another the way that we're supposed to love one another. Jesus says, love you one another even as I have loved you. Can we love like that? Somebody's saying it's the impossible dream. Nobody has that capacity. Yes, we do have that capacity to love like that. But what we do, we make it an impossible dream. It is not an impossible dream. It is possible. It is possible. And let me say this one more time, and let me digress, and then I'm going to get back on our subject. Ladies and gentlemen, if we think that it cannot be, then more than likely, one, our faith won't allow us to imagine it. Number two, our works won't let us work towards it. But I believe that the impossible dream indeed is possible. Indeed, it is possible. So when you look at Acts chapter 2, the Bible says in verse number 1 that when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance or as the Spirit enabled them. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem the Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. That is, Jews from every place came together at Jerusalem for this particular feast day. There were people that were there from 15 different nations. 15 different nations. And they all heard that one word that was spoken by the apostles. That's not the point. That is not the point. The point is this, that when they accused the apostles of being drunk, Peter stood up with the 11 and said, you know what? These are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it's but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. In other words, the dream that Joel had, the hopes that God had for his people were being realized. It is not an impossible dream that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall dream dream. Your old men shall see vision. And I will pour out in that day of my spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, that's not an impossible dream. The dream is not impossible. It's very practical. And indeed, it is very possible. And so when you leave here tonight, and when you go somewhere tomorrow, and you talk with somebody, what did you do last night? I went to church. And the preacher preached on the impossible dream. What did he say? That's an interesting subject. And he talked about what God dreamed for all believers, that all believers would be one. Well, how you know? You mean, Jimmy, that God expects everybody to be one? Yes. That's what the Bible says. I don't know if that can happen. Then you are saying it's an impossible dream, but with God all things are possible. They're all possible. So Peter is saying this is the fulfillment of what God had wanted for his people, that he would pour out his spirit upon all flesh. I'm not done yet. In Acts chapter 10, Peter is hungry. He goes up to his rooftop, falls into a trance. God lowers a sheet with all manner of beasts in it, clean and unclean. God tells Peter, get up and eat. Peter said, Lord, I'm a strict Jew. I don't eat things that are not clean. What I've called clean, don't you call clean, unclean, nor common. There are people at your door. Go with them, doubting nothing. Peter goes to the Gentile's house, and he preaches the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus to Cornelius and all of his family. And when they heard this, they were all baptized, because Peter says, can any forbid water for these that have received the Spirit such as we? And they were all baptized. In chapter 11, when Peter made it back to Jerusalem, talk about the impossible dream. When Peter made it back to Jerusalem, the Jews had heard that Peter went into the house of a Gentile, and they wanted to know what, why, and how. And they attacked Peter, and Peter had to tell them, you know what? This is the thing that God did. And I realized that when God showered his spirit upon them, that anybody from any nation that believed on him, that they could be saved too. You mean to tell me that God has opened this thing up to Jew and to Gentile? Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 15, for he is our peace, who has made two one. He broke down the middle wall of partition that was between them, that he might make of twain one new man, so making peace. The impossible dream. The impossible dream. Ladies and gentlemen, what is neatly wrapped in this package called the impossible dream is hope for all humanity. That if me being a Gentile, that God had opened up a way that I might receive
and be a participant and a partaker in the commonwealth of Israel, then that same blessing that God gave to me as a Gentile, to be a partaker of that, that God has put us all in that one body. And that's what he had to remind the Ephesians of. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul says, listen, I beseech you, verse number 1, that you might walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you have been called, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one hope, one God, one Father. The impossible dream. When we advocate that, ladies and gentlemen, then our speech becomes unimpeachable, because nobody could stand against that. The impossible dream. And so I'll stand right here, toe-to-toe, with the greatest mega church evangelist and tell him about the impossible dream. And the only thing that he could say is his opinion. He cannot produce biblical facts. And I'm not up here trying to pick a fight with anybody. I'm just telling you, ladies and gentlemen, that what some call the impossible dream, it's not impossible. Final thought. You think that there are some people that are like Saul of Tarsus, who did so many evil things against the body of Christ, brought Christians bound and chained for the purpose of them being put to death. He went in and took people out of their homes. He wreaked havoc. He washed the garments of those who crucified, who stoned Stephen and gnashed him with their teeth. Somebody would say, it would be impossible for a guy like that to be saved. It's not impossible. It's not impossible. Because on that road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9, not only in Acts chapter 9, but he reiterates his story in Acts chapter 21. He tells the story again in Acts chapter 22 about what God did for him on that road. And some would think that it would be impossible for a person like that. And so some of us right now sitting here, from where we are right now, you would think that your story is an impossible dream, that you can come to the Lord and be a true servant of God and be a vibrant, vigorous warrior for the Lord. It's not an impossible dream. And the only one that will make you think it's impossible, it is an impossibility, is the devil himself. It is not an impossible dream. You mean to tell me that God forgave Saul? He did. Acts 22:16, Ananias comes in. What are you waiting on, Paul? Or the KJV says, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, washing away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. There are some of you that might even be here for the very first time. This might be your initial coming tonight. This message may have been changed just for you. It may not have been changed for Shan. It may not have been changed for Rose. It may not have been changed for Keith. It may not have been changed for anybody, but it may have been changed just for you. Because you have in your mind that this thing could not be, and you're looking for something. And here it is. Here it is. The way that I came to faith, I only had the template of 1 Corinthians 1:10. I did not know what it meant. I didn't know the depth of it. I only knew what it said. That there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together. I asked my preacher at the church, what does this mean? He said, well, everybody have their own way of doing things. I couldn't go along with that, and the story goes even further than that. But I knew what the verse said. No division. You all speak the same thing. And what he was saying, that's impossible, because everybody have their own way of saying it. There are some of you tonight that your marriages are falling apart and you think, you know what? It's impossible for this thing to be salvaged. It's not impossible. And for you, it may be for you and somebody trying to convince you it's an impossible dream. It ain't. It ain't an impossible dream. It's not an impossible dream. It's very possible. Because Paul says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. It's not an impossible dream. And let me say this to you, Port Lavaca Church of Christ.
that God planted you in this in this city here. He planted you a long, long time ago. And shame on you if you think that this church cannot grow and this church cannot be organized and this church cannot thrive and that every last seat in this building can be filled. And somebody's saying it is impossible. No, it's not impossible. It is not impossible. And there are some of us that are just like Mary, that Jesus told Mary that if thou believest, it can happen. And Martha says, I believe that thou art the Christ. And as soon as the Christ has come up, say, Lord, by this time he stinketh. And Jesus had to tell Mary, Martha, didn't I tell you, Martha, that if you believed. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe in this congregation here. I really do. I really, really do. And I believe that you can achieve what some might be called the impossible dream. And they will come back and they will say, I never thought that you all could do it. They thought it was an impossible dream. But then they come back to witnesses and see that it was not impossible to begin with. Come on tonight, ladies and gentlemen. The devil is trying to convince you it's an impossibility. That by hearing the word one time, you say, you know what? I recognize the truth when I hear it. The impossible dream. I like that idea. I'm going to have to preach that somewhere else. I'm not lying. I'm not putting that on the shelf. Amen. I can't wait till I go somewhere else and do this. Because it is so. It is the truth. And the world is trying to paint this thing as such. Not only impractical, but they're saying, it is impossible. There are some of you young people that are here tonight that you're carrying burdens. And you're trying to carry those things by yourself. You can't carry those things by yourself. That's why you need help, and that's why you need prayers. Prayer is the beginning of it. But not only do you need prayers, but if you need somebody to visit with you and talk with you, folks are here, and I'm here this week, and I'll be more than glad to visit with you. Don't let the devil convince you that it is impossibility. For those of you who are not members of the body of Christ, you need to come today. You come by hearing that Jesus died for your sins, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day. No one can be saved without first hearing the words of the gospel. That same situation that happened when they attacked Peter about going into the house of the Gentiles. Well, there was a second time that this situation happened in Acts chapter 15. That there were some Jewish brothers trying to make the Gentiles keep the law. And Peter stood up. In verse number 7, he says, listen, men and brethren, you know how a good while ago that God made choice among men that the Gentiles, but my mouth should hear the words of the gospel and believe. The gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection. You got to hear that before you are saved. A person cannot be saved by hearing a song on the record and touch them in a special way and say, that song just touched me. I think I need to know that doesn't work at all. There was a guy who was so moved by seeing the passion of the Christ that he wanted to save him. He wanted, you got to hear the gospel. And then you got to believe it. Then you have to repent of your sins. Confess, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and be baptized into Christ, and the Lord will add you to the church. That's not an impossible dream. It's not an impossible dream. My heart has gone out to every last one of you here. And I know the character of Shan. I know this guy's over there praying already. In his mind, he's saying, somebody move. Somebody move. Somebody obey this thing tonight. Not only he, but others are doing the same thing. But the devil is saying, it's impossible. It's impossible for you to come. And those of us that are members of the body of Christ and we need prayers, don't be too ashamed to say that I am so weak, that I'm just like an overripe fruit that's about to fall from the tree, and I need prayers. Confess your faults one to another. Pray for one another that you might be healed, because the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. When Peter and John told Simon the sorcerer that your money perishes you because you think that the gifts of God can be purchased with money, repent of the wickedness of your heart and pray God. And Simon the sorcerer said, pray God that these things do not befall me. We will pray for you and pray with you tonight. The song of invitation has been extended, has been announced. And at this time, we want to extend the Savior's invitation for you to come as we together stand and sing, You Can Begin Coming.